And I feel like where Hyperquake adds a lot of value is helping customers to understand small ways to market accurately and test and learn different channels to get the ROI to prove out to those executives what the right channels might be. You know, so, you know, people talk about TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, and there's all of these avenues to get to your audiences, but it takes a lot of strategic planning to identify how you're going to reach those audiences in the most compelling ways that are going to get them to click.
Ryan and April, welcome to The Thinking Project.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Let's talk about, I know you guys are with Hyperquake, but let's talk about something right off the bat with marketing, which is, nobody likes to talk about it, but wild times right now. Everybody's cutting back.
It's the elephant in the room, right?
It's the elephant in the room. And, yeah. Okay, I'll answer the question, but tell me your thoughts. Isn't it always like, we flirt with like, on the border of like gaslighting when we talk like that, right? Like yep. Sales and marketers are like, it is kind of a hard time. And then you get on like TikTok and it's like, well, if you were a real marketer or salesperson, you'd make it happen. And you're like, well, I don't know if that's what we should be talking about.
Mm-hmm. It's the truth.
It's never a hard time. Yeah. It's always a hard time.
Yeah. You're like, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. You're like anybody. And so I'm always like, but sales and marketing is one of those things where if you don't put in the effort, that's why I'm like, I say flirting with like gaslighting, because it's like, if you do the work, you get it. But yeah, it feels like now you have to do 100 times instead of 10 times.
Yes, exactly. That's why it's always a hard time and always, you're always working. You're always putting something into it.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on in the world. But when the world is the place that we're in right now, where everything is so unsure and so shaky, it's more that the tensions are higher, so the emotions are higher with everyone involved.
Emotion, yes.
Yeah, and I think to build off of that, you know, there's a lot of ways you can do marketing, and I feel like marketing is such a taboo word right now. You know, CEOs or, you know, executives are like, oh my gosh, marketing, you need, you know, an X budget to do that. And I feel like where Hyperquake adds a lot of value is helping customers to understand small ways to market accurately and test and learn different channels to get the ROI to prove out to those executives what the right channels might be. You know, so, you know, people talk about TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, and there's all of these avenues to get to your audiences, but it takes a lot of strategic planning to identify how you're going to reach those audiences in the most compelling ways that are going to get them to click. Or get them to buy, or something along those lines.
Yeah, because I read on LinkedIn, I follow enough people that I heard that, and this helped me change kind of like my sales process. But they were like, you know, behind every good like sales process, marketing plan, there's like a really good offer, there's like a really good product, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's, well, let's just jump into it. You know, marketing end of 2023, beginning of 2024, we have, you know, the next 6 months. What does that landscape look like? What trends are you guys seeing? How do businesses prepare? Because you can't stop marketing. So what do you do? Like, what's the plan?
I feel like it's about being a smarter marketer.
Okay.
And smarter, of course, is like a gaslight word, right? But at the same time, you know, the work that Hyperquake does is go back to understand our audience. Why should someone care? Mm. Why should someone even care about your product, your service, your offering, and helping to identify those values of what's relevant right now and thinking about that customer journey and the proper messaging, you know, to actually get to market. So that's the work that Hyperquake does up front, is understanding those audiences, what drives them, where are they spending their time, what platforms. And a lot of that work is then handed over to April and their team to identify how does that actually start to infiltrate into the market. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would look at them as like, you know, they are the doers or the executors or they're the strategists behind reaching these audiences. We're helping to identify the content. What does the audience care about? What's going to get them to move, to click, to buy, to get share of wallet, and all of those upfront barriers that we're trying to remove to give them a seamless, you know, a seamless campaign or a seamless strategy to execute across.
Yeah, because no matter where we are in the world, like people are still buying, and people are still buying things that they need and don't need. It's the smarter marketer's job is to tell people what they need and don't need. Yeah. Because people, that's what they're waiting for. Like, they just, in whatever channel they're at, wherever they're playing, wherever they're working, they want to be told what they need and don't need.
Yeah.
It's the reason why people buy iPhones. Don't need it, but everyone has one.
Yeah.
So it's, that's what we're working with. So that doesn't ever stop, no matter what's going on in the world. What it's about is finding exactly who your people are so you know how to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And then on the execution end, it's targeting them in the right way to get them to move.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets scary. Like, if you're not, if you're a non-marketer and you start to think about this world of marketing, it's like, I'll go back, TikTok, Instagram, X, or Twitter. Like, where do you show up with the right content right. that your audience believes you, trusts you, and wants to actually engage with you to whatever conversion looks like?
Mm-hmm.
It's a click. It could be a LinkedIn like. It could be a purchase of a $500 good, you know, but we have to understand what's going to move people to move product. And that's what we believe at Hyperquick is like, you have to give them a reason to care.
Right. And this is why, like, I think sales and marketing shouldn't fight so much. That's exactly. Well, right though?
Don't, it is true, because we hear CMOs all the time saying, well, we're a sales-led organization and marketing took the back seat. And then, you know, or we're a marketing-led organization and sales supports us. No. Like, it needs to be brought together, and you need to understand what the barriers are or the tensions are from the salespeople, and it's marketing's job to figure out the right messaging and the right communication to be able to make those barriers go away. They should not even exist, literally.
For sure. Well, and one of the things that you mentioned, so I love the, you know, I'm more of like a modern day sales approach, which kind of marries the two, because when I teach salespeople, the only questions that you have to help somebody answer in the buying process are like, why change and why now? Right? Like, we handle like in marketing, we handle objections on front. That's why we have like an FAQ page. That's why we take like, if you've got like the elephant in the room, you say, you let them know that at the beginning of the video, and then they'll stay and you're right. Like, I just think that if you have more of like, why change and why now?
Yeah.
And that's what marketing does. And that's what salespeople should capitalize on. If marketing, you know, brings them in, we should carry the torch.
But I think it's marketing is always solving a problem.
Yeah.
There's always some issue that exists. And, you know, I mean, we're a business. We have to market our services. You know, and we help other companies market their services. And we just went through a long exercise, and it, you know, it took a while for us to understand and like really peel back the layers. We need to be focusing on individuals' real problems. So like our customers, CMOs, heads of brand, heads of marketing, we need to be hitting them with a message that they're fighting with themselves. They're bored. Right. Their CEO was just like, go sell more X. They're like, well, how do I sell more X? And so they're losing sleep over
More for less money.
That's right. And so they're like, what are the strategies? And those are the problems that they bring to Hyperquick to say, what are the avenues? What are the business models that we can create to drive a 3X on sales over the next year? So those are the problems that they bring to us. We help them identify solutions or pathways. And then once we've identified that those pathways or solutions like work with that audience, we then can like pull April and her team along and say, how in the heck do we do this? Like, how do we actually, you know, make this a reality? What's the ad spend? You know, what are all of the, you know, the critical components to actually getting to market now that we have an aligned strategy and vision?
I like that. So what do you do at Hyperquick, April?
So I actually work for we have a partnership agency together.
Okay.
There's Hyperquick and Marcor. So okay. I'm CMO over at Marcor and head a lot of the teams on the execution end. So this is about identifying exactly where those audiences are and then what their buying patterns or their behavior is, so that then we can use all of that strategy and use all of that like audience behavior understanding to then make them make an action.
And like the creative element. So, you know, we help to position brands to mean something of value to customers. Right. So like what's the heartbeat of the brand? And then there's campaigns, right? Like what are those connections to the different audience segments? What's the language? What's the verb? You know, what's the verbal? What's the visual? What's the video? You know, what's the clip? And the creation and direction of all of that, those are the assets that are handed over to April's team.
Oh, very cool.
To then think through like, what's the customer journey? What's the drip campaign? What's the email strategy? What's, you know, let's write the SEO strategy for content.
Yeah.
Our execution at Marcor ends up being, channel driven. So we understand the platforms, we understand the channels, we understand how, okay, you have a goal of getting to 50,000 for ROI for this month. What channels are your people most active in that we need to turn that faucet on right now? Yeah. And then how do we build that audience so that it's replicable and we can keep them? So it's not just something we turn that faucet on, turn it off, burn it down later. We want to keep it so that you can continue to build.
Yeah, we were talking about that before, right? We were talking about how like it's really hard going like 10 a month or whatever you're spending on market just to like stop completely because it just turned, you know what I mean? It's just off.
You just ruined it.
That's right.
You're like, dude, what did you do? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you said something funny, Ryan. You said like you talk to those people who are like sales led or marketing led.
Yep.
And I don't know that because like, I don't understand that because like if you're an SDR sales development rep or you're a business development rep, you're just a marketing guy.
You're telling a story.
Yeah. You're trying to figure out, yeah, like you're cold calling in instead of an ad getting in front of you, you're just dealing with you're just dealing with a rejection personally and not somebody just scrolling past.
Yeah. But I think that's where you can leverage the power of marketing and the power of, I think, good storytelling is that if you're, you know, out, like you were talking earlier, you know, you do cold calls.
Yeah.
Great. Well, you know, but it takes like, like 11 touch points now with a brand to actually even recognize their name.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, how do you get out in front of those? How do you create lists?
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're starting to target individuals where by the time that maybe you've gotten to them, they have already, you know, maybe heard you, maybe visited your website, maybe that's you're tracking all the CRM to see activity. So, you know, like Ryan Bettinghouse came to my site. He went to this page. Like
I know.
A lot of that is available to you and it's about the right platforms to allow marketing to support sales. So their job should be easy.
Right.
It's like hook, line, sinker.
We used to do that. And I get a lot of heat from this, but I never really figured out why, but I grew up in the car business.
Yeah.
That's where I got cut my teeth in sales and in marketing because they would do that. So car dealerships, they have hundreds of thousands of emails and they would plug those into targeted Facebook ads. They would just upload their list into Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have that pixel or whatever it's called. And we could see like they saw the ad and then they went to the website and they looked at a Honda CRV. And then my BDRs would pick up the phone and be like, hey, we're running a special on CRVs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that something would you just like to test drive it? We'll give you a $50 Amazon gift card. And like, it would just go through the roof. Like it made our job easier.
Yes.
Sales went up. Like, that kind of mixing of marketing and sales is a huge benefit that like I only saw in the car business. Like now people are like doing that more, but like we were in the car business in the early,
so
you know what I mean?
So much more efficient that way.
It's so yeah, it was so easy. Efficient. Like we knew that. I mean, we weren't creepy about it. Hey, I just saw you were on my website.
Yeah. Well, you know what? But now you're hitting on a really, I think, interesting tension of like data privacy. And I'm not the expert in data privacy. Like that's April and you know how they can get lists and you know properly get after.
Yeah, there is compliance you have to go through. Yeah,
sure. But sure. I do think that things are shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the area of like acting like you didn't know or just like calling someone, like everyone knows like you're being watched, monitored, tracked, people are following you.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, there might be some audiences, let's even look at the younger generation. Like, hey, I saw you were on my website and you looked at a CRV.
Yes, you have
they
to.
They might like that. Yeah. But those are all values, you know, to whereas like if you called my mother or my father and said, like, I saw you looking at this, they would be like,
they're like, what?
Man, like, this is, like, this is the government, like, you know, or like, yeah, they're coming after me. But like, I feel like that's why knowing your audience is
and so
what
important.
Moves,
you're right.
You know, targets is really important. And the other, I think, point to click on that's really important is paying attention to data. And that also is, I feel like, the role of marketing and managing expectations up, sideways, down within an organization.
Yeah.
So when you go to your CEO, I mean, you can't just go and say, hey, we're spending, you know, $75,000 a month on, you know, clicks. Well, what am I getting in return? I think looking at data and having an agency or support in-house that is able to track data, create dashboards to show success are really critical.
Yeah.
And that's where I think marketing gets a little bit of a bad rap a little bit is because it's just spending to spend and there's really no direct correlation to effort.
What do you think?
To go back to the like beginning of our discussion and conversation about why the elephant in the room on marketing and why they're the first to get cut, sales and marketing first to get cut, because marketing ends up being seen as as a red line on budget lines in every organization.
That's right.
So if it's not seen as a profit-driven center, if it's not seen as an ROI, then it's a red line. And so it gets to be the easiest red line for
You're the first one to the door.
That's And that's about managing expectations.
It is. Right. It really is managing expectations. I mean, and we all have the philosophy, like if we're working with a customer, our job is to make them look like the hero of their own story.
Yeah.
Like we're just a tool, really. I mean, we are a tool that we hope to never be disposable because they see the value in our work and the value in our partnership or the thought leadership that we bring to the table. So, you know, agencies, quite frankly, are also one of those words inside of like a C-suite that's like, they're probably just going to write me a retainer and, you know, and I'm not going to, but like, we look at this as like a team in scale. Like we are collaborators, we are consultants, which I think is really important of like solving big problems and helping them determine like, should people use an agency to scale or should they hire those people in-house? Like, and I that think that's big, like, that's really, and that's where we add value of like scaling their team and helping them identify pathways and strategies.
Yeah.
And then we can help to execute them, i.e. April on her team, or they might say, you know what, we're going to bring a team on internally, you know, that maybe they need someone that's an email marketer, you know, versus outsourcing that.
It's about what you need the most. Yeah. Like, what does your company need the most right now because of who you're trying to reach and who you're trying to target?
Yeah.
So what do you need that's full-time versus what is just makes more sense for you to contract?
Yeah, contract. I think everybody should just contract it first. That's just my opinion because it like salespeople, for example, like I do, I bring SDRs into people's companies.
Yeah.
It's so people just don't realize it. Like, they're like, I need a salesperson. So then they go on Facebook and hire their buddy. And they don't, and they forgot that you need all the sales enablement tools. Mm-hmm. You need marketing.
Yep.
Like, nobody wrote your offer out on paper. You just think it's so cool.
Well, I think you're hitting on, like, which I completely agree. And, you know, April talked about Marcor. And, you know, and there's so, they're amazing brains behind that company. And they're so good at audience identification and, like, getting into market.
Yeah.
But I think it's also really important to talk. You said, you know, start with agency support, keeping it as an outsourced service. On the flip side of what HyperQuick offers is a company called Several Thousand Alliance, which is around consultative change management, chief growth officers. Yeah. So a lot of folks will come to us and say, like, I have no idea how to scale my business. Well, there's ways that you can actually, you know, plug someone in for 30, 60, 90 days to allow them to identify what you as a business really needs.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it is that you need a scaled marketing team. Welcome to HyperQuake. So it really, and the intention is not to, is to sell all these services. It's really always to help the customer.
Right.
But oftentimes companies don't know what they need or they don't know.
That's
an outside perspective, you know, from a consulting standpoint to then be able to say, okay, maybe HyperQuake isn't it, but we have someone that can support you.
Yeah.
And in our network that is not a company that HyperQuake owns,
right?
You know, so it's finding the right fit for the person. And I feel like we do put that customer at the center of everything we do. We'll always look at their needs as a consultant to better their business.
Right.
And that's important to us.
We see that a lot here, especially like in our Utah startup world. There's so many CEOs and so many like these startups that are led by engineers or led by tech brains and these brilliant people. Who have an incredible offer or an incredible product or something very innovative or just a great idea, but they are not marketing people. They're not sales people.
Yeah, you don't know how to like reach somebody on a human level.
Exactly.
It's like the standard, like, I have this amazing tech stack. It's going to solve the world's problems. And
everybody will want it if I can just explain what it is.
And I'm like, can you tell me what it is? And then it's like, do you have 20 minutes? And it's like, time out. Like, your salespeople need to be able to go on to push this and to be able to tell a compelling story in 30 seconds.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. Like, ask a couple of really good questions that are pointing. Like, what problem are you solving? Like, why should somebody care? Mm-hmm. Like, why should somebody care now? And what do they need to do about it?
That's the power of branding and marketing.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sharing your story. Tell everybody where they can find you, though. HyperQuake. And what was your company's name?
Marcor. Yep, okay. Marcor.com, HyperQuake.com.
Yep.
There you go, Ryan and April.
We're both Utah. Utah is...
Oh, you're from Ohio.
I am from Ohio.
Midwest born. Yeah, let's go. We're
both. Are you? Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee?
From Knoxville.
Knoxville. Yep, let's go.
About the same time, Ryan and I had to come lead all the efforts over here for you, for Marcor and for Hyperquake.
Yep. That's awesome. Yep. Well, thanks for being here, guys. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.